Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. My sermon today is a light to lighten the Gentiles. Now, how many of you grew up Roman Catholic in here? Okay, how many of you grew up Lutheran? All right, that covers pretty much all of it. One of the things that we always had in the liturgy, and this was in the Roman Catholic Church and the Lutheran Church, was what was called the Nunc Dimittis. And the Nunc Dimittis was the Song of Simeon that's in the Bible. And it has been the release from the communion table for centuries. And of course, people start getting to the point where they're wiser and know more than what was in the Bible. So guess what? Both Roman Catholic Church, Lutheran Church, took it up. And that happened about 1980. All the new hymnals have got it back in there. Why? Because it's so important. I'm going to sing this because this is what we used to do in our services. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. How many of you have heard that or at least said the words? Really few. Okay. Folks, why is that so important? Well, Simeon, if you know that story in the Bible, on the eighth day after Jesus' birth, this actually is for next Sunday, but I want to touch on it today because it's so important. When a baby is born in the Old Testament, in Jewish religion, he's not named or she is not named until the eighth day. Why? Well, because in that day and age, you didn't know if the baby was going to live or not. So before you give it a name, you wait 7 days. And on the eighth day, you take it to the temple and it's presented to the priest. Well, Simeon was the priest at the temple in Jerusalem. And he was to the point where he was almost dead. But when Jesus was presented to him, he sang the new demands. Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace. Why? He knew he was going to die, but now the promise of the Lord had been fulfilled. And he knew he was looking at salvation. Boy, you don't think the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit was speaking to him that day? So why is it so important to talk about the Gentiles today? Who are the Gentiles? Us. You know, folks, that's the story for us. A light to lighten the Gentiles. Not just the Jews, but all of us. Now, today's the fourth Sunday in Advent, and the reason I'm standing behind this today is my back is killing me, and I'm using it for support. So I apologize I'm not walking around. But we lit the fourth candle today. Anybody remember what the fourth candle is from last week? Joy was last week. Love. Pretty close, though. All right. For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Agape love. You know, it's one of those loves, there's no conditions put on it. It's something that... It's unrequited, no condition, unconditional. But it's one of those things that is so important. Let me ask you this, since we have some older people in our congregation. How many of you have the hymn, O Perfect Love, sung at your wedding? One. And that was Faye. Boy, years ago, I sang that at almost every wedding. Oh, perfect love, all human thought transcending. Lowly we kneel in prayer before thy throne, that theirs may be the love that knows no ending, whom thou forevermore dost join in one. What key am I in, by the way?
B.
B?
B.
It's supposed to be B flat. Hey, it wasn't bad though for right off the top. You know, folks, it's one of those things, perfect love. Have we experienced perfect love? From God. Okay. It's not a human concept. It really isn't. You know, the thing I find so interesting is we look at things like the Nunc Dimittis. You know, let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared for me. You know, if you sang that every week, would that message get through? I think so. And I think that's what we're missing. You know, what is really funny is after Vatican II, the Catholic Church took Latin out of the Mass. We kept it in the Lutheran Church until 1980. Okay, and I can show you all the things in here in the hymnal. By the way, this is the old Missouri Synod hymnal, and it was from 1941, so you can figure it's almost 80 years old. Been around a little bit, not as much as me, though. Or I should say, I haven't been around as much as it. But you see what I'm getting at? Is there's a reason why we do things. And I think sometimes we get on this kick that, oh, we don't need to do that anymore. Yeah, we do. We do, because that's what we believe. And you remember what I've told you before, we believe what we sing and we sing what we believe. Okay? So if you sang the Nunc Dimittis every Sunday, see where I'm going? Does that make sense? All right. So we're going to talk about this more in a week, and that's okay. I'm not going to spend a lot of it now. But there's one thing I want to touch on. If you go through our hymnals, we have services for Vespers, Matins, the canonical hours, because that's part of us too. But there's one part in the service for Vespers I really love. Jesus is the light of the world, the light no darkness can overcome. I don't know about you, but I find that beautiful. Now, remember the wall hanging we put up there? Remember what it says? If you can turn around and look at it, in his light. Okay, now today we're going to finish up with the Aaronic blessing. You know, the Lord bless you and keep you. I don't usually do that, but for today and tonight, I'm going to do that. But the thing is, we've got a connection between Jesus, light, and face, because they all deal and work together. Well, why today of all days? Well, we're going to get into that. Face and light. Light is mentioned 152 times in the Old Testament. And to me, when I do a Bible search, I try and find out these words, you know, and if it's mentioned once or twice, it's important. It might not be the greatest importance. 152 times. You think there's an importance on that? I do. Okay? Face. 328 times in the Old Testament. Okay? I gotta walk a little bit. Being before the face of God is important. We know from Revelation, where does the light in heaven come from? Come on, Bible scholars in here. It comes from God. It comes from the throne, right? Okay? So when you have that throne, that's the light in heaven. So it's shining from the face of God. When you go through 328 times, we see the word face. Face is important. Why? Because when you stand before God, you're standing behind before his face. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and be gracious upon you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. When you go through the Psalms, how many times do you see something like that? Hundreds. So is it important? Yes. Because when we come face to face with God, we come face to face with our salvation. And today, aren't we celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ? Our salvation, the Word, as John said, made flesh and dwells among us. You know, our epistle, well, first of all, I'm going to go through and talk about a couple of things in our readings today. By the way, thank you for reading. Okay. Because this is an important thing. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them is light shone. Okay, there's the first example of it, the very first part of our Old Testament reading today. The song. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. In the heavens, you will establish your faithfulness. And you have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations. Okay. Steadfast love. All right, so we started off with light. Now we have steadfast love. And the thing is, we talked about the throne in heaven, the throne for all generations. God's going to establish that from the lineage of David. So who's that about? Jesus. All right, and the song. That's gospel. Okay, don't we usually think, well, the Old Testament's all law and the New Testament's all gospel? No, it doesn't work that way. There is so much gospel in the Old Testament if you just think about it. Our epistle lesson today, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people of his own possession. All right, so what do we have? We have light from the Old Testament, the love from the Old Testament and the Psalms, and we have grace and hope in Jesus from the epistle. Sound familiar? Well, what's left then? Joseph's dream. And I really think the dream's the important part. You know, Mary, what should have happened to Mary in the Jewish world? She should have been stoned to death, right? Because she had known a man without the benefit of marriage. Well, Joseph was going to divorce her quietly, the scripture says, because that would not have happened if he had done that, because they were, you know, totally married then. Now, it's a different situation because betrothal is equated with marriage in the Jewish world, even though we haven't gone through the actual thing, but to be betrothed is to be married. So if he divorced her quietly, then she would not have been stoned. All right, so he had made this decision, and an angel of the Lord came to him in his dream and said, hey, you can't do that, because that child is with her from the Holy Spirit. It's not something that she has done. You know, I think the two things that are important there is naming him Jesus, and Jesus means God saved. And Emmanuel, God is with us. Can you imagine? You know, that still blows my mind that God came down from heaven and was made man, and he walked among us. You know, but even the apostles had trouble understanding that. And when we get to those readings, I'll talk about that, you know, more. But, you know, I love this, because the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, that's so important, Amber and the Messiah, as one of the biggest choruses that deals with us. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Well, is it no wonder that Simeon, when he saw that little baby, knew all of that right before him? Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and forever shall be, world without end. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, be our